dear brothers and sisters in Christ, today as we celebrate with the Church the feast of St. James the Apostle, this impetuous son of thunder who seeks to follow Christ and be with Christ even in his glory, and is the first then to lay down his life also to follow Christ. It's a good occasion to reflect once again on Christian martyrdom, and that martyrdom is something we practice mainly in life, and then for some, in a special way, in a death that is a testimony to the faith, such as the case with St. James. So our Lord asks him, "Can you drink from the same cup from which I drink?" And without hesitation, St. James and his brother John reply, "Yes, we can." And hopefully that is the attitude of each and every one of us, a readiness to follow Jesus in the confidence that whatever is required to be faithful to that resolution, either we already have it or our Lord will give it to us in the moment of truth. There's a concept, and I don't claim to be that familiar with it, but I'm very interested to read and know more about it lately, with things going as they are in the world and the persecution of the Church becoming more and more palpable with every passing year. I've become aware recently of this idea of the passion of the Church. And as I understand it, it's a sort of a prophetic or mystical view of what the Church is passing through in this time as a participation then in the passion of Christ, sort of analogous to the moments of the passion of our Lord Jesus. The Church is also passing through a kind of passion and crucifixion. The venerable Fulton Sheen, in his book The Divine Romance, has something to say that we could relate to the passion of the Christ. He talks about how in the days of Christ, he was condemned in three languages, in Hebrew, Latin, and Greek, by the cultures of those cities, Jerusalem, Rome, and Athens, in the name of the good, the true, and the beautiful. He says, "Now, as then, the representatives of these cultures pass beneath the cross and ask that the Church give up and come down. Those who crucify her in the name of the good shout to her, 'Come down from your belief in the spiritual destiny of man. Come down from your belief that man has been made in the image and likeness of God. Come down from your belief in the sanctity of marriage. Come down, and we will believe.'" He goes on, "Those who crucify her in the name of the true pass beneath the cross and plead, 'Come down from your belief that there is such a thing as truth. Come down from your belief in the divinity of Christ and the existence of God. Come down from your belief in the continued life and truth of Christ in his Church. Can you not see that there are other crosses on Calvary besides your own? Come down and we will believe.' Those who crucify her in the name of the beautiful shout, 'Come down from your belief that salvation is purchased through mortification. Come down from your belief that the only way to save a life is to lose it. Come down from your belief that another world is to be purchased by the tempered enjoyment of this one. See the straits to which your philosophy has already led you. Your flesh is hanging like purple rags. Come down, and we will believe.'" And then just to give you the rest of what Fulton Sheen has written, "The divinely supreme miracle of Christ's whole life and the Church is that she does not come down. A human being would have stepped down with the same impetuousness with which weak men answer timid challenges. The miracle is to be able to come down and yet not come down. To have been Gnostic in the first century, to have been Arian in the fourth, and to be pagan in the 21st. He said 20th, but I'm updating it. "It is always easy to let the age have its head, but it is difficult to keep one's own. It is always easy to fall. There are 1,000 angles at which a thing will fall, but only one at which it stands, and that is the angle at which the Church is poised between heaven and earth." So my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, our Lord foresaw all of these things and the sufferings and persecution which his followers would face. He said, the world hated me first, and it will hate you also. And he also knew the faith and fidelity with which many of his followers would live their lives, even at the price of encountering the cross. And he gave us examples then, such as St. James, who despite the temptations to leave the cross and simply go along to get along, he remained faithful. And St. James was the first then to literally lose his head for Christ, killed by Agrippa just years, maybe 10 years or so, after Christ himself was put to death on the cross. And we can trust that St. James has a very glorious place in heaven, if not at the right or left of our Lord, somewhere very close to him. And we aspire to that same fidelity and to glory, which comes always at the price of the cross. So we turn to Our Lady, who gave courage and strength to all of the apostles when they were fearful before Pentecost, and who accompanies us and the whole church until the end of time as a mother, as an example, and the mediatrix of all graces. We ask her to give us the courage in this time that many are calling the passion of the church, to be faithful to the truth, to the beauty, which our Lord entrusted to the church, and to resist those temptations to come down from the cross, but rather be faithful with our Lord on the cross and enjoy with him an eternity of glory. Praise be Jesus and Mary.